Well, good evening. It's great to see you here on this Wednesday night. You'll put my title slide up for me. Tonight we're going to talk about the grace to start over, or the grace to start again. Sometimes in life we get stuck, we get discouraged, we get waylaid, we get attacked, and we find ourselves not moving, not doing what God has called us again to do. And I've been reading in the book of Zechariah lately, and I just have been amazed at the beauty in the story and all that's recorded there. And I saw this beautiful theme where God is talking to his people about starting again. So tonight, if you're stuck, or you've been under attack, or you've been discouraged, or whatever has gotten you out of the flow of what God has asked you to do, I want to share with you that God says, there's grace. There's grace to start over. And grace, Eddie's been talking about it on Sunday morning. You know, we're talking about that supernatural empowerment that comes from God. It's not ours. It's not something that we work up or make happen, but it is something that flows from the Spirit of God. So tonight, it is time to get started so that you can finish what God has called you to do. So I want to tell you a little bit about the backdrop of the story. If you open the book of Zechariah, we see Zechariah is one of the Old Testament prophets, and he is talking to the people. And he starts it with giving them a message from God. If you will come back to me, I will return to you. If you will just return to me. Because you see, they had really been away from God. The people of Israel had been so stubborn, so rebellious, that God had actually allowed them to be taken into Babylonian exile, where they had been for 70 years. Now that is a detour you don't want to take. 70 years away from your home, but they had come back to their homeland. A remnant of them were back in Israel. And they knew what God wanted them to do. He wanted them to rebuild the temple. So here we find Zechariah giving them messages from God, prophesying and telling them, first of all, remember the history lesson. Remember what your forefathers did, and don't do that, because he said God was angry with them. God was so angry with them because they refused to hear the prophets. They dismissed what the prophets said. They despised the prophecies. And so God let them be taken into exile. But here, as this group has returned, they've come back to the land of their fathers, going to reclaim and rebuild and get started. That is where we're finding us beginning here in the book of Zechariah. Now, Zerubbabel, do you love that? Zerubbabel. Maybe I'll shorten his name tonight. No, we're going to try to say it. Zerubbabel. He was the governor, basically. He was the lead political person. And when they got back to the land, he started rebuilding. He was the one who was leading, along with Joshua the high priest. They're going to rebuild the temple. They know what God wants them to do. But they get started, and guess what? Opposition, political red tape, discouragement, pressure, all these things come against them. And for 16 years, they didn't do anything. They just looked at the foundation that they started. Zerubbabel had started the foundation. It was there. He was leading the people. But because of all the things that came against them, they're just stuck. So imagine them day by day walking by this foundation that's there, and the weeds are growing, and they're just discouraged and stuck, and they're not getting anywhere. So God begins to speak to them through two prophets. We find the prophecies in the book of Zechariah and the prophecies in Haggai. These were contemporaries. They lived at the same time. And they begin prophesying to the people. They're calling them into action. They're calling them back to what God has for them to do. So the first thing I want to say to you is if you need to start again, whatever that means for you, maybe you've been through a divorce, maybe you've had a death, maybe you've lost a job, maybe you've had some kind of great loss in your life, but if you need to start over, the first thing you need to do is remember what God has called you to do. Look at this scripture in Zechariah 4. I love this. Zechariah is giving this, he's getting this message from God, and he's going to deliver it to Zerubbabel. And this is what God said, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands shall also finish it. So God is speaking life through this prophetic word. Zerubbabel, it's time to get busy. It's time to get back at it. You are going to finish what God called you to do. So if you are stuck or waylaid or discouraged, ask yourself this question. What has God spoken to you to do? Stir that up. 2 Peter 1:13 and 2 Peter 3:1 both talk about this idea that we can stir up by way of remembrance. So we can take what God has said to us, what he's promised to us, we can take his word out of the scripture, and we can stir ourselves up to get started again to do what God has asked us to do. So revisit and stir up what God has told you, remembering God's call on your life. And realize that God is a finisher. The scripture said he is the author and finisher of our faith. So he had not called Zerubbabel to lead and then stop and end and be stuck and not finish. No, he called him to finish because God is a finisher. Philippians 1:6 says that he who has begun a good work in you will do what? He will finish it. He'll bring it to completion. So this is what he's wanting to do for the people. This is what he's wanting to do for Zerubbabel. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says that he who has called you will also do it. God will do it. God will finish it if you get lined up with him and his purposes and allowing his spirit to work in you, remembering what he's called you to do. God will finish the work through you. So remember also what God has specifically said to you. As I was reading this and studying it, I noticed that this was a very specific word to Zerubbabel. Look at this scripture. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." It was specific. Now God is speaking to Zechariah. We have a series of 8 night visions. How would you like to enter a prophetic encounter with God where night after night, season after season, you're having night visions? This is what's happening to Zechariah. So God's speaking very specifically to Zechariah. He's speaking to Haggai, Zechariah's contemporary, and he's speaking to Zerubbabel. He's sending his message to him. So God speaks to you very individually. God has something for me to do. He has something for you to do. He has a call for all of us, whether you're working in a shop or maybe you're the preacher or whatever it is that you do, God wants to give you direction. He wants to speak to you. He is a very personal God. So he will talk to you. Like that scripture says, if you just return to him, if you come to him, if you spend time to him, with him, he will come to you and speak to you. He had a very specific word. God spoke in this book, Zechariah, very specifically to a leader. And God often does this. When he's beginning to do something, what does he do? He raises up a leader. So he has raised up Zerubbabel, but Zerubbabel's got stuck. He's not doing anything. He's not leading. But God speaks personally to him. And he speaks personally to Zechariah. Notice this. Zechariah is going to lead by prophesying here. And the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. So Zechariah is sleeping, and the angel, and some people think it's actually Jesus Christ that talks about the angel of the Lord, woke him up. So God wakes up a leader and gives him a message. And this word wakes up here, awaken, means to stir up, to rouse, awaken. He was asleep, and God said, wake up. There's something I want you to prophesy. There's something I want you to do. So God, as he's beginning this work back in the land, he speaks to a leader, and he speaks to wake up the whole nation, because the entire nation needed to be awake to what God had for them to do. Remember, when they first got there, back out of exile, they were passionate about it. They were all getting started. They were laying the foundation. They knew what God wanted them to do. But now, 16 years has passed. 16 years of the whole group of this remnant that had returned to Israel were just stuck. They weren't moving. They weren't taking ground for God. They weren't doing what God called them to do. So God speaks prophetically to wake the entire nation up. In Ezra, we're told that the elders of the Jews built and prospered through the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah. So Zechariah and Haggai both prophesying, a younger one, an older one, and they're prophesying and waking up the people to what God wanted them to do. Have you received a prophetic word that has woken up some destiny in your life? Maybe you need to go back and stir some of those words up and hear what God is saying to you, because God speaks specifically to you. God cares about you. Salvation, your salvation begins very personally with God calling you to salvation. God has a specific plan for your life. And then we have to depend on the power of God. In one of these visions that Zechariah has, he sees something that's completely different from what he's seen before. So Zechariah was actually born in exile, but he knew about the lampstands that had been in the temple, the lampstands in Moses' tabernacle that were described in the Word of God, and he knew what they looked like, but he sees something very different. He sees a lampstand with solid gold, with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. And two olive trees are standing beside this lampstand. And then God gives this word, which we're going to look at. Not by might, not for my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Well, first of all, this lampstand is different from any one that they've ever seen before, because in the Old Testament system, every day, the priest would go in and have to trim the wicks. Every day they had to beat those olives and get the olive oil. Every day they had to fill up that lampstand. Continually, night and day, there was work that the priest had to do to keep that lampstand burning. But now we have a new picture. Now there are two olive trees that are just perpetually, continually dripping the oil in the bowl. And what a picture that is for us of God's grace. You know, we often try to do things in our own strength and power. But when we depend on that supernatural power of God, we can hit a place and live in a place where it's just like it's just flowing. It's just flowing. The oil is just flowing into us, through us, because who now carries the presence of God in the earth? We do. You are the vine, Jesus said. I am the vine and you are the branch. And if you abide in me and I abide in you, you're going to bring forth much fruit. There's this abiding place that we can live in where the oil of the Holy Spirit just flows through us. And that is a beautiful place to live. We need to depend on that supernatural power of God. Now, this did not mean that there wasn't any work to do, because Zerubbabel still had to pick up the stones. Okay? He still needed to lead. He had to pick up the stone. He had to get to work. He had to start leading. But it's different when you're doing something with supernatural grace than when you're doing it out of your own power. So this end of this scripture where it says, the Lord says, not by might. So he's speaking very specifically here and said, it's not going to be your armies. It's not going to be your political agreements that you make with people. It's not going to be all your finances. It is not by might, Zerubbabel, that this is going to happen. The temple is not going to be rebuilt that way. And it's not by power. This is a different word, and it means your individual strength. It's not going to be by your willpower. It's not going to be by your determination. It's not going to be by your good plans. It's not happening that way, but it is happening by my Spirit. And truly, if anything of worth is done in the kingdom, isn't it done by God's Spirit? God's Spirit working in us. And this word for Spirit is the word ruach, and it's where we translated breath, ruach. And it's the same word used in Genesis 1:2, when we see that God's Spirit moved over the face of the deep, and he brought order out of chaos. It's the same idea, God's Spirit, God's power birthing something. It's the same word used in Ezekiel 37. When the valley of dry bones came to life, stood up, and became a great army. God's breath does these things. It's the same idea as in Romans 8. When we find that Jesus was raised from the dead by what? By the breath of God, the power of God, the power of God's Spirit. So anything that you're going to do in this life that has lasting impact for the kingdom of God will not be by your own power, your own strength, not by any group that you get together and your own smart ideas and your own willpower and your own determination. It will be by the Spirit of God. And then when it works that way, he gets credit for it. Otherwise, if we do it in our own power, if we succeed, we get proud, and if we fail, we get condemned. But when we know it's God working in us and through us, then God gets the glory. And this is the message that he wanted to get to Zerubbabel. It's time to wake up. It's time to lead. It's time for the people to get busy. It's time to rebuild the temple. But you're going to need my help. You're not going to be able to do it in the way that you think you might be able to do it. You're going to have to do it by that continual, perpetual oil of the Holy Spirit flowing in. And that is the way that you are supposed to live your life. That's the way that I'm supposed to live my life. I think it's a little glimpse for us of the change from law to grace. Under the law, it's a lot of rules to keep. There's a lot of working. There's a lot of things to be done. But under grace, it's just a flow of God's Spirit. We submit ourselves to him. We want to be obedient. We want to, as the scripture started, return to God, be obedient, be listening to him, and let that flow just come into our life, the flow of the oil of the Holy Spirit. So depending on the power of God. So it's a shift. Now, some of you have experienced this. If you've been doing things for God and then you somehow got tired or got in the flesh or got off track and you started just doing things. And then you run into a wall. You run out of steam. You get burned out. You just fail under the pressure. But when God gives you a supernatural energy, it's a completely different process. I've told this story before, but it's the one, as I thought about this, that I thought best illustrated this in my life was when we were at Haleville First Baptist, and Eddie was talking to me about God's calling us to step out, and he'd had these encounters with the Holy Spirit, and I had not had the same encounters that he had, and he's saying, God is leading us to resign our church and just step. I'm like, what? I was terrified, honestly. I saw what God was doing. I saw God working. I saw him putting the pieces of the puzzle together. So I knew it was coming and I knew it was happening, but I wasn't ready for it yet. In my own flesh, I was struggling. I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out how that was going to work, how God was going to provide for us. I believed God was the provider, but I'd not seen him do what I was about to see him do before. But when I encountered the Holy Spirit, was filled with the Holy Spirit, it just took me into this place where it was effortless. It was so effortless. It was just his presence and his flow and his peace and his power and the faith that comes from him. It was a completely different thing than trying to do it myself or trying to figure it out. Not by my own might, not by my own power, but by God's Spirit. That is the way it happened. And it was so miraculous, one thing after the other, as we lived through that time when God was teaching us a lot about living by faith and a lot about life in the Spirit. So all of us need to depend on this supernatural power of God. Supernatural supply gives you supernatural momentum. It's like hitting a jet stream. You ever been flying? And all of a sudden they say, we're in a jet stream. What's going to happen? You're going to get there a lot faster. You're going to get there a lot faster. You're going to get a tailwind. You're just getting energy in a jet stream. And it gives you supernatural momentum. So if you feel like in your spiritual life that you're just treading water, that you're just working really hard, that you're just up against it and nothing is going right, you might be trying to do it by your own might and your own power. And so I'm telling you tonight that there's a grace to do the things that God has called you to do through his Spirit. Look at what happened. They started this foundation of the temple, and it laid there for 16 years, and now all of a sudden when God starts speaking, Haggai's prophesying, Zechariah's prophesying, the people get busy, Zerubbabel gets busy leading. They finished the temple in 3.5 years. That is supernatural momentum. And that is the same thing that God can do for you when you allow him to give you the power to do what he's calling you to do. That scripture that we just read, you might notice that it says, thus says the Lord of hosts. Well, who is the Lord of hosts? The Lord of hosts, the Lord of the angel armies, the Lord of covenant power. He is a covenant-keeping God. So in the scripture, he often reveals himself through his names so that we get an idea of what he's wanting to do. And so in this situation, he said, I am the Lord of hosts. I am the Lord of those angel armies. I am the one that's going to give you the power to get this done. A covenant-keeping God. He just needed his people to wake up, get up, start going, start moving, and depend on him to do what he was asking them to do. Now, looking at verse 7, I love this message that Zechariah received to give to Zerubbabel. Who are you, O great mountain? because there was a mountain in front of Zerubbabel. There were some obstacles. That's why they got stuck. All the opposition, all the things that were coming up against him, that had not changed. It was still just like it was. But depending on the power of God, things are going to change. Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. He shall bring forth the capstone. He's talking about Zerubbabel. The capstone is what you put on the top of the building when it's finished. You will bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Grace, grace, shouting grace, grace to it. This great mountain could represent anything in your life that is an obstacle. What is an obstacle for you? What is in your way of doing what God has asked you to do? Jesus also told us that we could speak to a mountain, and what would happen? It would move if we had faith in our heart. So God sends this word to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, you're going to speak to that mountain, and it's going to become a plain. Now, it wasn't going to become a little hill. It was going to become a flat plain. The mountain would become nothing in his sight. God wants to do that for you. He wants to do that for us. So he wants us to speak grace to our obstacles. As I was thinking about this, I thought about how true faith never pretends. You know, sometimes we get a little wonky when we're talking about our faith, and we can get off a little bit, I think. And sometimes we're afraid to say what the obstacles are. I don't find that in the scripture anywhere. When people were sick, they said, "We're sick. God can heal us." When there was a financial need, they didn't say, "God's already met all my needs." They said, "There's a financial need, but bless God, he's going to meet my needs through Christ Jesus." You don't have to pretend that things don't exist to walk in biblical faith. You actually name it and you speak grace to it. You name the obstacle, but then you declare that through God's grace, you're going to overcome it with God's grace and God's power. And you confront that mountain directly. This is the scripture I was telling you about. So you look at the obstacle, or you look at the obstacles, and you speak grace to them with faith that Jesus gives you through the Holy Spirit, and you tell them to move. When you know where God is sending you, you know what he wants you to do, the mountain before you has to move. But it moves through grace. It doesn't move back to that same idea, not through your own power, but through grace. And you trust in God's grace to make that mountain into that flat plain. How much easier to go forward on a flat plain than on a mountain? Trust in God's grace, not your strength, that unmerited favor, supernatural empowerment. So when they get to the end of this building project and Zerubbabel puts that capstone on the top, they're not going to say, "Look what we did. Wow, look what we accomplished. Wow, aren't we great?" No, they're going to say, "Grace, grace, it's all grace. Grace to it." Zerubbabel is going to say, "It's just God's grace. If it hadn't been for God's grace, I'd still be stuck. Hadn't been for God's grace, I'd still be lying here in ruins. Still be the foundation would be unfinished." But with God's grace and God's power, 3.5 years later, the temple has been built. Now, one thing that might be important to mention, because we were talking about how you might be discouraged or disillusioned, when they started this building project, one of the reasons that it was hard was because some of the older priests and Levites knew what the former temple looked like. They knew what Solomon's temple looked like, and it was amazing. It was glorious. It was grand. And so when they started building this new temple, it's small. The foundation just doesn't really look like anything much. It's not glorious. So they got pretty discouraged with it. It really wasn't the building project that they thought that God was going to do. So we have to guard ourselves from this and be aware of what God is doing, because he wasn't rebuilding Solomon's temple. He was building a new temple. But we can speak grace to those obstacles. Another word that God gives to Zerubbabel, the political leader, who's working with Joshua the high priest, who's moving to get this temple built and all this accomplished, is this: who has despised the day of small beginnings? Because that is where they had been. This is not really what I thought it was going to look like. I don't really like this. This is nothing like Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple, there was unending money and supply and gold and beauty and everything. It was amazing. But they're just coming back from exile because of the sin of their forefathers. And they're starting over. But look at this word. For these seven, and earlier in Zechariah, we're told that there's a stone with seven eyes on it. Zechariah's got all kind of symbolism in it. There's a flying scroll and women with wings and a basket with a lead top on it. There's all kind of symbolism in the book of Zechariah. But these seven eyes, these are the seven eyes of the Lord, rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the seven eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Look at this. We have to watch despising the small beginning. We have to guard our hearts. I love this scripture. You've heard me quote it before, that we're to keep our hearts with all diligence because out of it come all the issues of our life. I think back in those early days of laying that foundation, that they let all that stuff get in their heart. This is not what I thought it was going to be. I don't like the way it looks. It's not as grand as I thought. It's hard work. We're getting opposed. There's opposition. There's red tape. There's foreign enemies. And that got inside their heart. We have to guard our heart. And that scripture amazed me. When I saw it said, what captivated heaven was when God saw Zerubbabel with a plumb line in his hand. Now, a plumb line is not a glorious tool. It is a string with a piece of lead on it. Okay? It is not impressive. It's not powerful. But it keeps things straight, right? It helps you lay the vertical, straight part of the building. And we are told in that scripture that when God saw Zerubbabel pick up that plumb line, he rejoiced. He rejoiced because he's getting started again. He's starting over. He's getting back at what God had called him to do. That captivated God's heart. So as we come to the end of this message, I just want to say to you that God's purposes for you are often bigger than you. So God's purpose for Zerubbabel was bigger than just him. He stopped leading and the foundation stopped being built. But you know what? It didn't just hurt him. And the people stopped too. It wasn't just him. But everybody got stuck. God's purposes for you are often bigger than just you. And the Lord of hosts, that our great covenant-keeping God, he's not brought you to this place to abandon you. He still has the same power he did when he first spoke to your heart, when he first empowered you. He's still the same Lord of hosts. Guard your heart. Be sure that there's nothing there that the enemy's going to use to take you out of God's progress, out of God's plan, out of God's purposes for your life. And lean into God for the grace that you need. Realize you can't do it. God doesn't want you to try to do it by yourself. Sometimes we say this, and it's very true, that if God asks you to do something, it's usually going to be so much bigger than you can do by yourself. Because then when it happens, He gets glory. We prefer those things that we can control and keep lined up and make happen in our own power. But God calls us to great, big things, and we need to lean into His grace for the power that we need. And then just pick up the plumb line. God will rejoice when you pick up your tools. What is your gift? Do you have a gift of giving? Do you have a gift of serving? Do you have a gift of worship? What is your gift? Pick it up. God sees those small beginnings. He sees you teaching that Sunday school class. He sees you serving at the door. He sees you doing all these things. And it really rejoices His heart to see you get started again. Get unstuck. Let the Spirit of God empower you to start over. I love this scripture in Acts 13 talking about David. It says that he fulfilled God's purpose in his generation. And you can fulfill God's purpose for you in your generation. So some of these principles that we looked at tonight are things you need to tuck into your heart so that you are fruitful, so that you succeed in what God is calling you to do. Pick up the plumb line. Pick up the tools that God has given you. Get started again. Start over. God is the God who finishes. He wants to finish through you what He started in you. Now, would you stand to your feet? And Dawson is going to come. So as we're thinking about what we do for the Lord, let's remember that He wants us to shout grace, grace to it. We've got to stay focused on His grace, not our power, not our might. God's grace, God's Spirit. Shout grace to those obstacles. Shout grace to those mountains. Pick up the plumb line. Get started. Remember what God has called you to do. Because the gifts and callings of God, the Scripture says, are without repentance. He doesn't change His mind. He knew what He was doing when He started speaking to your heart. And those words still exist out there over your life. He still wants you to fulfill those purposes. Now, our prayer team members are coming tonight. And some of you may have found yourself weary. You're discouraged because of the obstacles. And you need a fresh touch from God's Spirit. Some of you need to wake up. You need to stir up what's inside you. Some of you need to come and recommit yourself to picking up the tools that God has given you in your life and getting back to the work. So as we sing now, this altar is open. You may want to pray by yourself. You may want someone to pray with you. But whatever God has spoken to your heart tonight, just respond to that. Listen for what God is saying to you personally right now through His Spirit. Spirit, we just open our hearts to what You want to do in our lives tonight. Some of you need to repent. for laying your tools down. Some of you need to repent for letting the weariness and the obstacles take you out of the game, so to speak. Just respond to whatever God is saying to you tonight.